Awesome. Hey, everybody, how's it going? Are you guys excited to be here at Hume Lake this weekend? Yes? We good? Can you do me a favor? Just how many of you guys is it first time this weekend? Whoa, okay, this is awesome because this is my first time this weekend at Hume Lake as well. So we're all in this together. I'm really excited, guys. My name is Justin Knowles. I'm a student ministries pastor. I'm a pastor down in Southern California at a church called Christ Church of the Valley. So for the last 10 years, I've been hanging out with junior high and high school students just as yourself. My church is in, it's a city called San Dimas. And if you know your cinema history, there's a great movie called Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure in which San Dimas High School football rules. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, ask your older leaders. They'll know what's up. You should know exactly what's going on in there. So, guys, a couple of things about me before we dive into what we're going to be talking about tonight, because we don't know each other. I want you to get to know me a little bit, but I'm married. I have a wonderful wife named Kristen. We've been married for 5 years, and we have a one-year-old little baby boy. His name is Graham. I got a picture. Yes, I know, he's adorable. And he just turned one just 2 weeks ago, and he's so much fun. He has two modes, asleep or moving, always. And so that's him, and they're actually up here with me this weekend. And so if you're going to see them walking around and stuff like that, so make sure that you say hi to them as well. But my wife and I, we actually known each other for around 11 years, 12 years now, but we met for the very first time in 2005 on Hawaii. Heyo. And that was awesome on Maui. And all the girls, I know what you guys are thinking. You're like, it's like The Bachelor. I wouldn't know. I don't watch trash. And it's just truth, guys. It's just truth. And here is the thing, even better, is that we met on Hawaii in a hot tub. And so all the guys are like, yeah, what's up? Air high five. And here's the thing. I wish that there was immediate sparks when we first met, but that was just not the case. At least there was on one side, on my side only. And it took, we were friends for about 4 years. So she actually put me in the friend zone for 4 years. Does anyone know what the friend zone is, dudes? You guys know what's up? Okay, so let me explain this to you just in case you don't know what this friend zone is. It's something that every woman is known how to do. And what they do is that they know that a guy likes them, and they string them along like a little cat with a play toy. And they say stuff like this. They say, oh my gosh, I love you like a brother. Or they say stuff like, oh, like why can't there be more guys like you? And I'm like, but I am a guy like me. I am me. And so here's the thing. She held me in the friend zone for 4 years. Four. Let me repeat that. 4 years that I was hanging around waiting for her to realize what's going on. And finally, one day, she realized that this fine piece of man candy is standing in front of her. And she opened her eyes, and then boom, we're together. And we were friends for 4 years. We dated for about 4 years. Now we've been married for 5 years. And here's the thing, guys, if you find yourself in the friend zone, I'm just letting you know there's hope, right? I'm just standing. There's hope. You could be, if you wait it out, it could come. And girls, stop it. Okay, you know exactly what you're doing, and it's not fun, and it's not fair. Okay, so but here's the thing, guys. I'm really excited to be here with you, and I want to let you know right up top, no apologies. This is not a bait and switch type thing. My goal this weekend, and I don't know if you do the church thing a lot. If maybe this is your first winter camp experience, my goal is to challenge you in your faith. My goal is to hopefully, by the end of this weekend, is that you are a little bit closer to Jesus, and that the gospel, and just the realization that the gospel of Jesus, his death, his resurrection, is the answer that we're kind of looking for. He's the answer, and that he is here to give you life, not only just a better life, but an abundant life, life to the full. And that when we follow him, man, doesn't mean that's always going to be easy, but it means that your life is going to be way more fulfilled. And as we go through this weekend, we're going to be, for tonight, if you have a Bible, we're going to be Ecclesiastes 3 and Matthew 6, if you want to open there now. But I would love to pray, and then let's just kind of dive right in, and we could kind of get going with this weekend, okay? Will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, God, we thank you We thank you for this time that we get to be here. We thank you for Hume Lake and what this place is and what it means and what it represents. And God, that as we get out of our normal routine, as we come up the mountain, as we leave home for a little bit, God, I don't know what's at home. I don't know what people have left down the mountain. But God, I pray that you could be present here. And God, that as we learn about you and as we're challenged to see how you see things and how you call us to live, God, that we could become closer and closer to you. And God, as we talk about tonight, the things that we chase, the things that we try to fill ourselves up with, God, that is not of you. God, that we could be challenged to begin to purge those things from our lives. God, because those things, God, it's just never going to fulfill us like the way that you can. God, we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. So let me just start you off with a question, just kind of get you thinking a little bit, okay? What if what you've always wanted, so do me a favor, just think real quick what you've always wanted. What's the thing, person, whatever it is that you've wanted for a long time, you'd be dreaming about it, if you could just get your hands on it, use it, be a part of it. Think about it. If you could actually get that thing that you wanted for a very long time, what if you actually got it and then that thing ruined your life? Just think about it. If you finally got that thing, and what if that thing ended up ruining your life? It'd be kind of a little disappointing, right? Something that you've been striving for and all these things. See, I want to tell you a story. This actually happened with this guy. His name's Jack Whitaker. I got a picture of him. This guy seems like a normal dude. He was a grandpa. He owned a very successful business. He was not like super rich by any means, but he had a pretty well-off life, and he was just going about his business, and he was 55 years old. He was a grandpa, and he came from a well-rounded family, but on Christmas Day in 2002, he was driving home from his family's house at Christmas, stopped at a gas station, was a little bit hungry, got a deli breakfast sandwich from the gas station. I don't know if that's a great choice or not. Filled up his gas tank and happened to buy a lotto ticket that won. And here's the thing. Not only was it just a little lotto ticket, but it was the mega, like, ultra ball ticket where he ended up winning over $300 million. Now, here's the thing. He took out the cash payment option where they wrote him a check for $113 million that he got deposited into his bank. Right? That's kind of like everyone, when you think about winning the lottery, everyone's always kind of dreamed about it. What would you do with that much money? You could kind of get whatever you wanted. You could hang around with all the amazing people. You could buy all the houses and the things. And here's the thing. Whitaker's first course of action, he actually started off in a really good mode, is that he donated 10% of all of his winnings to local charities and churches that he was attending or has attended in all of his area. And he actually started a non-profit organization in which he donated $14 million to help families who needed food in the rural areas around him, and that he actually began to, you know, return to the supermarket where the lady who sold him the ticket, and he bought that lady a house and a brand new car as a tip for selling him that ticket. Right, so he started off pretty well, and he started off in a generous thing. But here's the thing, that even though he had all of the stuff, he had all the money, and he started to really take a toll on his life, because he actually started to do the things that most of us, probably myself included, people say that money doesn't want to buy happiness, but sometimes I kind of like, I want to try. I would like to give it a shot, and I would like to kind of be that. But here's the thing, Whitaker, a few months later, got arrested for drunk driving. Okay, and then a few months after that, there's a whole list of things that kind of go really bad for Jack Whitaker. A few months after the drunk driving thing, he was at a strip club, and he was spending over $100,000 in that place. Okay, so he was having a good time. While he was there, he got in his car, had $500,000 cash, which was stolen. Someone broke into his car and stole. I don't know why. Where's your bank, buddy? I don't know what's happening. Why do you have that much cash on you? I don't know. But what happened was that two people that worked at this club knew who he was. They drugged his drink, so he fell asleep, broke into his car. They were later arrested, but the money was never recovered. A year after that, again, thieves broke into his car again, stole $200,000 from his car. Again, didn't learn his lesson. And then through the whole thing, he was arrested and charged with assault after threatening a manager at a bar. A couple months after that, he was sued for allegedly sexually assaulting a woman at a racetrack. And again, he was interviewed going through all these legal things because people knew who he was and they thought they could sue him because they wanted to get money out of him. And then he said, it doesn't really bother me. I have enough money. I could go through all this stuff. Right? Shortly after that, just 2 months after all of those things happened, he found his granddaughter dead in his home. And what happened, it was a drug overdose. And what ended up happening is he got pulled into court because he was in charge of his granddaughter and because he didn't really watch her, he gave her, can you imagine, just for a second, I don't know if you get allowance, but he gave his granddaughter $2,000 a week for allowance. And what happens is that he actually got arrested for being a part of her murder because he was supposed to be watching her, and because of the drug overdose, because he was giving her so much money, that's how she was getting all this money for drugs. I don't know. I don't know how old she was. See, and then after this, he was sued by a casino for $2 million. And then after that, just a year after that, Whitaker came forward to the police that the rest of his money was stolen because all these people came and cashed checks in his name. And all of a sudden, he was just bankrupt. $113 million gone in 4 years. When going back, Jack was asked about his experience with winning the lottery, right? Something that we kind of all dream about. We kind of all think about, what if I had enough money, if I could do this, get this, whatever it is. And he actually claims to be struggling financially. He filed for bankruptcy, and he's trying to still make ends meet with payouts from previous lawsuits because of all the times he's gone to court. And what he actually says is that even though how much money he's lent family and friends and did all these things, that actually that winning the lottery, he says, destroyed my life. That he says if he could do it all over again, he would go back to that gas station, and he would just buy the gas station deli breakfast sandwich, fill up his tank, and leave. That if he could do it all again, he wouldn't even go through all of that stuff. Jack got nearly, like, if you think about it, right, that's kind of all what we want. We kind of all dream about that and think, if I had enough money, I could get this and then do this. If I had that person, had this boyfriend, had this girlfriend, if I had this thing, whatever it is, that I could get it, if that thing is going to fill me up, and ended up being the worst thing that ever happened to him. That if you think that more money, possessions will solve all of your problems, that's just a lie. And I'm letting you know that it's wrong. But that's the thing, it's not just Jack. It just not happens with people that goes with the lottery. Like, I think about my own life. Like, think about the things that I've wanted since I was growing up. I don't know about you, but the thing that I've always been into since I was a little kid, it's just video games. Like, I love, like, video games. And back in the day, and leaders, tell me if you had this too, the first gaming system ever was the Atari gaming system, right? And that thing, that was it. That was back in, like, the early 80s. That was the thing, right? Pong. And here's the game that I played, Frogger. And now here's the thing. Look at that. That's what we had to deal with back in the day. That was like cutting edge things. And I would spend hours trying to make that stupid little frog try to cross the street without getting hit by a car. And that's the thing. It was the greatest thing in the world until the Nintendo came out, the original Nintendo. And here's the thing. The Nintendo was the next big thing. And the big game that came along with that was Super Mario Brothers. And if you know that this is a classic game, and I remember I had the Atari system, and my friend Gordon, everyone hated Gordon at my school. He was an annoying kid at school, but when the moment he got the Nintendo, he became the most popular kid at school, and everyone wanted to play with Gordon. And that game right there changed my life. It was awesome. Because you guys, the theme song became, it's still stuck in my head. Do 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 do, right? If you have no idea what I'm talking about, I'm sorry for you, okay? Because this was one of the greatest games in the world. But here's the thing, Gordon had this thing. I hated Gordon until I got my own Nintendo for Christmas, and it was amazing. And this was amazing because I would literally spend hours in front of the TV yelling at the game when it cheated, not me, and I would die. And then I would have to go back and start from the beginning. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me until, of course, the Super Nintendo came out. Now, the Super Nintendo was a whole nother level than more Mario Brothers, one of my favorite games that I ever remember playing, a Street Fighter, and it was just this sweet game that I loved to play until the N64 came out. And then the Super Nintendo was stupid. I would have wanted nothing to do with it because I wanted the N64 because Zelda was there, that Mario was there, 007 GoldenEye was there, oh, and it was amazing. That was the next thing that came out, and I loved it. Well, until, like, you know, the PlayStation came out. And then, like, there's PlayStation 1, and then 2, and then 3, and now this last Christmas, I got the PlayStation 4, Call of Duty, heyo, right? Like, that's what I'm talking about. And here's the thing. Fortnite's dumb. But here's the thing. Like, think about it. Right, this is just like one thing that I just kept on wanting to get more and more and more. But you've done the same thing. Your leaders have done the same thing. When it comes to, like, why is it? Why are we not ever, like, satisfied with the things that we have? Like, why is it that we always are craving and wanting more? When the new thing comes out, I have to have that. When the new thing comes out, this thing's stupid now. I want that thing over there. And then we're never satisfied in what happens. And, like, what happens? Have you ever thought through why is it that way? Why are we ingrained to think through this? See, in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3, the whole book of Ecclesiastes is written by this guy named Solomon. Solomon was one of the wisest men that's ever lived. He was also one of the richest men that ever lived. Like, he thought, if he thought it, he could build it, he could buy it, he could have it. That was Solomon. And so what he ended up doing near the end of his life, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and he's kind of, you want to hear, let me give you an overview of what the Ecclesiastes, what he says. This is what he says. Life is meaningless, nothing matters. Stuff, things, all the things that I chased, all the women that he chased, all the stuff that he had, nothing mattered because nothing satisfied his soul. And it's kind of true. Think about that. It's like thousands and thousands of years ago, that problem has never gone away. We still struggle with this. We still wonder, why is it? What is it that we're seeking? What is it that we're chasing after? Look what it says. In Ecclesiastes 3, verses 9 and 11, this is what he's writing. So what do people really get for all of their hard work? I have not seen the burden of God has placed on us all yet. God has made everything beautiful in its own time, that he has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to end. See, that God has put eternity inside of our hearts. See, a lot of people have said it, and I still kind of feel weird about this, but I guess it does make sense that people have, like, said that it's like God has placed a God-sized hole in your heart, meaning that there's something. Listen, guys, listen. If you're not paying attention, you're already zoned out right up here. Look it. That God has it wired in us for something more. Something more is more than what this world has to offer, but it's him. And that it's him, that he's the only thing that can end up filling whatever that desire, that need that we have for the more, the whatever desire and that need for that thing that we're trying to reach or kind of get, or whatever that thing is for you. For me, it was the gaming system. For you, it's something else. I don't know what it is, but God has placed it on our hearts for something more, and that more is him. See, this is not just a now thing, though. This happened a long time ago. There's this old school guy, philosopher, Blaise Pascal. That's a sweet name, though, by the way. Blaise, that's rad. Is anyone named Blaze in here? No, it's not. Liar. Okay. Here's what it says. Look what he says. He says, what else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim? But that there was once a man, or once in man, a true happiness, of which all that now remains is this empty print and trace. This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there to help, and he cannot find in those that are, though none can help, since his infinite abyss can be filled with only an infinite and immutable object, in other words, by God himself. In short, there's a hole in us. We're wanting something more. That in every human being, there's a hole that we try to fill with friends, money, popularity, whatever it is, that we try to fill, careers, relationship, entertainment, school, whatever it is for you. That remember that this is what Solomon was saying. This is what Solomon did. He lived that life. He had everything. Jack Whitaker had everything in his life that he could possibly imagine, yet none of them were satisfied with the stuff, with the things. That some of these things, I'll be honest with you, they help for a little bit. They fill me up for a little bit, but it kind of goes away. It doesn't last. Like, have you ever heard anyone, like in an interview, you know, when they say, like, they won the Super Bowl or they won an Oscar or whatever it is, and they say, like, oh, man, how do you feel? And they kind of say, like, the same thing every single time. I don't know. It hasn't really sunk in yet. See, what they're saying, what it really is meaning is, like, this thing that I've been training for and I thought that I wanted my whole entire life really is not all that I thought it was going to be. It has not filled me in the way that I thought it would when I got it. It still kind of made them feel like, meh, right? Just kind of like, you ever like made them, meh, meh. Can we all kind of make that sound on three? Ready? One, two, three, meh. Yeah. That's just kind of, this when you get the thing that you wanted, that's kind of what the sound that you're like, meh, oh, I don't know. I guess, like, that's kind of fine, it's fun. But the thing, it hasn't sunk in, and it never will, because the accomplishment, no matter how awesome, it can't bring you the fulfillment that only God could fill. It can't bring you those things. See, here's the thing. It's not, maybe you got to write this. If you're taking notes, which I hope you do, because I really do, if you're a note taker, like history makers are note takers, right? People who remember things and apply them. Man, it's a really big deal. But if you want to write something down, I would write down this. It's not about a thing, it's about a who. For most of us, it's not, we try to chase after a thing, but really the answer is it's not a thing, it's a who. And only God could fulfill those things. And here's the thing, Jesus himself talked about these things. That if you look in Matthew 6, and no joke, guys, Matthew 6 is one of my favorite verses, one of my favorite passages of scripture, because I seem to always go back to this when I'm stressed. Man, can we be honest in this place? Can I be vulnerable with you? That I'm hoping that this could be a place where we could be honest and open with each other. I struggle with anxiety. I go to therapy weekly because I struggle with like the feeling of being overwhelmed a lot. And I always go back to this for whatever reason, because Jesus' words here are so peaceful to this, because it's a great reminder, because I tend to chase after things as well. Same with you. And this is what he says in verse 28. He says, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work to make their clothing, yet Solomon, in all of his glory, remember, because Solomon had everything, he had the best kind of stuff, that not even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today, thrown in the fire tomorrow, well, he certainly will care for you. Why do you have so little faith? He says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? That these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Did you know that God already knows what you need before you even know what you need? That he already knows what you need before you even know what you need for your own self. And it says that seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Notice, he doesn't say he'll give you everything that you want. He says that he will give you everything that you need in that moment, for that day, for that time. See, I love Jesus' words here because I feel like if he is talking to me or if he's talking to us, he's kind of like smiling a little bit because, you know, he like my son, when he does something that's like it's kind of funny but kind of dumb at the same time, we're like, kind of like, why would you do that? You know, like kind of like that, like, why would you do this? And I feel like kind of this is what Jesus is kind of looking at, like kind of like, why are you worrying about this stuff? Like, why are you worried about what you eat or drink or wear or whatever's happening? And I feel like probably a little bit of a frustration in his voice as well, because this passage is happening during the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. If you have time this weekend, you should definitely read that. And it's kind of a thing, it's a Sermon on the Mount, so there's all these people, he's up on a hill, he's talking to a big group of people, and he's saying, here's the things that you need to think through and kind of walk, and he kind of is walking around, and he catches a flower, maybe just on the hill, and he's like, ooh, sermon illustration, boom, I'll pick that up. Why do you worry about what you wear when flowers don't make themselves, that God makes them, and that they're here, that they could be tossed aside, no problem, but God... He says that he's going to still care for you much more than he does the flowers in the fields. See, when we read this, there's a command, there's an acknowledgement, and there's a promise. There's a command, acknowledgement, promise. The command, therefore, don't be anxious about anything. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? He says, what is he saying? He says, don't worry. Now, I don't know about you. Remember, I just said that I go to therapy for worrying and being overwhelmed. And I read that and I go, nope, that's impossible. But Jesus is saying, hey, don't worry. All those things that seem to be important, all those things that you're desiring, all those things that you're trying to be a people pleaser, all those things that you're trying to make people want to like you, all those things that you're chasing, all those things that you think that you need but you really don't need. He says, don't worry about those things. He says, don't worry, because those things, what you think will give you fulfillment, they're just going to leave you hungry again. They're just going to keep leaving you wanting more. He says, don't worry about what to eat, what to drink, what to wear. Don't worry about where you live, where you go to school, what career to take, who to date, who to marry. He says, don't worry about it. And the acknowledgement, he says, that your Father already knows what you need. Let that sink in for a second. Let it just sink in for a second. What do you need? Guess what? God already knows. He already knows what you need. He already knows what you need to hear. He already knows what you need in your life. He already knows the people that need to speak into you. He already knows what you need here at this camp this weekend. This statement, it fills me with so much hope and joy and so much peace, because Jesus isn't telling us that the things don't matter. Friends matter. Enjoyment matters. Like, it's not saying don't have fun, don't have, you know, a boring life. That's not what he's saying. It's not a bad thing to have a PS4 or whatever it is that you're chasing after. That's not what he's saying. But what he's saying is that he knows what it means to want. He knows what it means to be human. Because I don't know if you guys realize this, because yeah, Jesus was God, but he was also human. And that he knows, if you think that, like, how could Jesus know what I'm actually feeling right now? How does he know the hurt? How does he know what's happening at home? How does he know the hurt that I feel in my family? How does he know the hurt that I feel in my friends? How does he know the things that I'm chasing after? How does he know how I feel? He doesn't know. He's God. No, he doesn't. He walked like us. He walked on this earth and felt the things that we feel. Look what it says in Hebrews 4. He says, the high priest of ours, he's talking about Jesus, understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings as we do. Yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help when we need it most. See, God gets it. He doesn't just want us to waste our time and energy trying to get things that he's already taken care of. And the promise, this is what the promise is. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What he's saying is that if you put God first, and here's the something I want to challenge you with. Okay, I don't know your background. I don't know what's happening at home. I don't know what's going on. But my challenge to you, and this is what I think Jesus would challenge us, what would happen this weekend if you put Jesus first this weekend? Above it, just try for 3 days. If everything you did this week, you put him first. Because I'm telling you right now, you will leave this mountain a different person. If you're doubting it, I just challenge you. Because Jesus takes on this challenge. If you seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added on to you. He says, put God first, and he'll take care of everything else. That you could take that promise to the bank, that you could actually begin to trust him with it. You could actually begin to see him in your life. You get to see him and maybe hear him speak to you in a way that you've never heard him spoken to you. And he says that if you put him first, you will get everything else. That here's the thing, guys. When we chase stuff, things, people, we ultimately end up with nothing. But when we chase and pursue God, we get God and everything else that comes with it. We get God and everything that he says that he'll give us because we need it. That God has an inheritance, and this is what we're going to be talking about for the next couple sessions. This is just night one, guys. There's way more to go. But Jesus talks about an inheritance that he's set aside for us in heaven. In eternal life. Look at what it says in 1 Peter 1:3-4. It says, all praise to God, the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And now we live with great expectation that we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change and decay. And here's the thing, guys. As we talk about this weekend, we're going to hear about this word of eternal life. And a lot of people think that when we talk about eternal life, we're thinking about, okay, if you believe in Jesus, you know that he's your Lord and Savior of your life, that you'll get eternal life, and that's after you die. And what Jesus is saying, and what we'll talk about for the rest of this weekend, is that eternal life could begin now. That the kingdom of God is not just in heaven, but when we place him first, we seek him first, when we get God and we get God and chase after him, and we get everything that comes along with pursuing God, he says that we get an inheritance and we get to start to take out a little bit of that now here on earth because of the life that he offers. That this is the promise of God to us, that he will take care of you, he will take care of me, and all we need to do is seek him first. So my challenge to you, okay, if you tuned out, right back up here, I need every eye. Look at me. Wake up. My challenge to you, what would it look like if you were to put Jesus first this weekend? Just see what happens. Just see. Stop trying to find fulfillment in the things of this world. Stop pursuing happiness. Pursue God instead. And watch what happens. And I guarantee you, you'll live life not only just good, but to the fullest. And we'll see what happens. Guys, I'm excited to be here with you this weekend. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this time that we get to be here. God, I thank you for night one. I thank you for what we get to experience for the rest of this weekend. God, I pray as we take a look at Solomon and all the things that he had, God, and the things that we tend to pursue and the things that we think we need, God, I pray that we just turn back to you. God, that we take that promise, God, that you already know what we need. And God, that you will provide us with the things that we need. And that when we put our trust in you in that, as hard as it is sometimes, God, that you will give us everything that we need in that moment. God, help us stop pursuing happiness. God, help us start pursuing you. Help us stop pursuing things, but God, help us start pursuing you. God, I pray for the rest of this weekend, the rest of the sessions, the free time, the worship, God, I pray that you begin to open eyes and change hearts in this place. And God, that we ultimately get to see what all that you have to offer. and that's eternal life in you. God, we pray this in your name. Amen.